Well, since we are having a little different structure, because we have this children's message, that I would like to talk a little about this Old Testament reading that we just read. And just reading it, you may get wonder why I actually picked that, trying to connect that to worry about, or something that is worrying. This scripture, according to our guy who wrote the theology for us, Immanuel Swedenborg, has this deeper sense about why intrinsically or innately it is part of the human nature that we get worrisome. In a way, the word, if you kind of try this definition from dictionary, the word worry goes with anxious and goes also with being uneasy. And you get uneasy when things are uncertain or things are getting out of your hand or things are not happening the way exactly you plan or foresee or the way that you want it to be. So it has to do with something about controlling. Now, why this text? Well, this is one of my favorite texts in the whole Bible. That means I can talk about it 2 hours or more. Every single word, every single verse, whole thing, upside down, downside up, I can talk about it that way. But one thing that I'd love to mention today is this is the part when God says there's something that's not good. This is the first time. After every single time God created, God says, it was good. It's good. It's good. And this time God says, it is not good. And then he said that the man should be alone. Now if you read the whole text, which is just before this one, man cannot be alone. Actually, this whole creation of Eve is self-contradictory in the Bible, and I have argued back to my youth minister many times about it. How come God created male and female in the first chapter, and where's female gone and suddenly man's alone? How come that's really possible? Well, if you read the story carefully, somehow man's alone, man needs a partner, but man cannot find partner among anything that is created out of the nature. But it has to be from one's own self. Then man loves it. So this is the intrinsic, innate part that is somehow in our nature that we love at the most. That's something that totally belongs to me. I love it because it's mine. This is right because this is my way. This is right because this is the way I thought. Those are somehow intrinsically in us. So that problem is we're not God. So living in this world, we have to face that. We have to be challenged. We face those situations that my will not prevail. The way I thought may turn out to be not right. The way I want it to happen turned out to be not so. And what happened? Even bigger, as a human, small little creature, how can we predict whole world and universe to go the way I like it to be? In a way, it's intrinsically yet impossibility. But we want something that's impossible. Yet, we know at the same time that that is impossible. So, we get uneasy, anxious. We get worried. Now, says, don't worry. In a way that I was just explaining that intrinsically, innately, which means by birth. We're kind of born to worry. It's in a way, it's a situation that we're into, that we have this desire to control, yet our desire is bigger than our ability. So it's almost inevitable that we have to feel things are uneasy. And in that context, somehow Jesus is coming and saying, don't worry. And he begins actually not with something that's huge, theologically, philosophically high, but he just simply starts with, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink. He kind of pulls us down to ground. And now he says about something that things that you eat and drink. In a way, how many of you sitting here today are worrying about what you're going to eat and drink today? Is there anyone here that has to worry about it? I probably think not. Well, in another way, when Jesus was saying this, actually the crowds were listening to it. I am sure about it, probably 70 to 80% of them were eating two meals a day, if they get lucky. Most likely one meal a day. Did you know that having three meals is kind of like less than 100 years old practice? Did you know? No? Check out your history book again. In a whole entire human history, eating two meals a day was kind of practice. Kings and queens and nobles may eat five meals a day. That was their showing of rich and different. But average person may eat two meals a day, or sometimes one meal a day. So what Jesus is actually asking them to stop is much, much more difficult thing than we may imagine. Because for us, not to worry about the food that we're going to eat and drink is not that hard. Because we don't worry about them. But for them, this is day to day. They can't know tomorrow's food. They have to get today's food, and that's all that they can think about. What Jesus is saying, that you don't need to worry about that. Does Jesus really, did he really not know that these people have to literally work for their food? Was he going to feed them every day? He fed them four times or three times in a mess. But it was not his plan to feed them forever. Nor is there some kind of bank account in heaven or food in a place in heaven that if you pray, just food will come and appear in your plate so that you don't have to worry about it. No. So in the context that what Jesus was trying to say to me is that kind of focus, it's about mentality. And in a much more practical way of saying that being worried will not get you anything. If you need food, don't spend your time and mentality thinking about it, being anxious of it, go work and get it. More like that's what he meant by it. A lot of times, when we have a good plan, big plan, a vision, we spend much, much time thinking about it and trying to cover all the bases and worrying about it, being anxious of it, uneasy about it, yet not really doing about it. In a way, what Jesus is really trying to say is the mental game we play in here will not really yield anything. You have to just use your hands and feet and work it out. That's probably the most basic, but actually the most profound. Because when your hands and foot are busy doing something, can you be really anxious of what you're doing? Try it. If you're really focused on what you're doing it, you're enjoying it, you're producing something, you have a good spirit, you may not be certain that the outcome should be the great that, you know, something that you really like or not. But when you're busy about really producing something, that itself sometimes is good enough to make you feel good about it. So, Jesus, we believe that God incarnate, meaning Jesus knows all our weakness. Jesus knows us better than we know about ourselves. Jesus knew that these people had to eat. Jesus knew that, well, God was not going to send them food or clothes or money from heaven. So, the power of God cannot come and accompany you when you're in the state of worry, being anxious. In that context, in a very simple question we can ask is, what am I going to accomplish? What am I going to benefit? In a very simple, practical way. In worrying about things. I mean, we have done that all. Right? We have done it. I have done it a couple of times, too. That never really yield anything. And last sentence he's saying, even not for tomorrow, just today. Of course, when Jesus is saying this kind of things, sometimes we apply this as like, oh, so we don't need to think about tomorrow. We don't need... No, he doesn't mean don't think about them. He doesn't mean don't plan about them. It doesn't mean that don't prepare for the future. Those are different things. When you're thinking about them, when you're planning about them, when you're preparing for something that may come, like preventive medicine, you exercise, you eat healthy, so that you're trying to prevent any disease that you don't need to have. You're not really worrying about disease when you're doing that. You're more likely, actually, more in a positive way. You're happy about doing it. You're energized doing it. You're proud to do it. Why? You're protecting yourself in that context. But if there's somebody who's taking a lot of pills and worrying about getting diseases, but not exercising at all, not watching what the person eats, what good can happen to this person? So when Jesus was saying that don't worry about tomorrow, that means literally don't be anxious of tomorrow. Don't be uneasy about the uncertainty that tomorrow may bring. But do something about it. If you are concerned about something, do something about it. If you know that tomorrow will bring certain problem, do something about it today. There's a difference between worrying about it and doing something about it. Like, if I have two children, I wish they go to college. I wish that they don't end up with huge loans. I can either just think about it and just uneasy about that they'll have a lot of loans and I don't have enough money. Or I can start maybe saving a few dollars each month and add up something so that when they go to college, I can give at least some. Right? One is just worrying about it. Another is planning something and doing about it. So when Jesus was saying, don't worry, intrinsically, I told you that we are kind of born to worry. So there is this is something that is inevitable too, but at the same time, a lot of things that concerns our life, we can do a lot. Simply being conscious of what it is, being conscious of what we need to do, and being conscious what I can do right now. And if you know and sure you're doing something good right now, I'm sure that you'll feel good about it. And the blessing and the power of God is always in and on when you are doing something good. So when Jesus says, don't worry, you could dig that into all the way deep into your spiritual cultivation about your essential relationship with God in a way that, do you think you have a control or God has the control? From there to simply governing and managing your life, that just pay attention how you spend your mental energy, where your focuses are going. In the discipleship training that we just did, one time I asked the people to write down what they do in all day. And they found quite interesting things. And some of them says, wow, I do really this many things. I didn't know that I was doing this many things. To the other person saying, well, I didn't know I'm spending this much of time for basically nothing. Why? So, in this context, the last one that I'd like to share with you is being present. That means being conscious. Probably this is one of my, you know, every minister has their kind of 4 or 5 messages. This is one of mine. Being conscious of now. Now doesn't mean now as others. Now means now of me. What I'm thinking, what I desire, what I want, what I can do, what I cannot do. I'm trying to be conscious of those things all the time so that I do what I can do. And I don't try to do the things that I know I cannot do. So that there's a part that we have to let go and let God in. In a way, yes, God, I know I'm just a human. I don't control everything. And I think I'm not comfortable with it, but it's okay. Because I know that, God, you love us, love me, and always see good end for us. So I'm not saying that I'm okay because, you know, there will be good things always happen to me, but I'm saying I feel it's going to be okay because good God will always bring the best. Even if I may not agree with that, still essentially the best for me all the time. So I feel okay. I feel free. I feel happy. Regardless of all these challenges and uncertainties, I feel good because I trust in you, good loving God. And I believe that's the message of Jesus in saying, don't worry, and God loves you. Amen.